to Fire Talk, where we give you the latest news and updates on Fire Athletics. I'm Drew Watson, Athletics Director here at Southeastern. Joining me today is Donnie Smith, our number one pinch hitter, Director of Athletic Communications. Donnie Smith, how are you doing, Donnie, today?
Great, great. Thanks so much for having me.
Of course.
How are things in your chair?
They're good. My chair is comfortable.
A little bit taller today.
Yeah, my chair is comfortable. Apparently, they got new chairs in here, new stools. So we're really excited about that. What's going on in the Smith household right now? Any renovations? Anything for Charlie?
Thankfully not. It's pretty quiet right now, but hopefully my wife is not watching today and we can avoid that.
She's always watching.
I know.
So she's one of our many listeners.
I might have forgotten to tell her.
Yeah. Well, today we have a special guest joining us, our very own. Southeastern's very own men's and women's tennis coach, Drew Dickens. How are you, Coach?
Yeah, I'm doing well. Thanks for having me. Excited.
It's really good to have you here. You've had quite the career at SEU. Now, what most people who have been around us a long time know is that I met you when you were a student athlete. My first ever, we used to take the student leaders on a retreat. That's a different story that we can get into why we didn't do that after that. But I met you on that first retreat. So in fall of 2011, we went to, where was it?
St. Armand's Circle? Yes. St. Armand's?
Yeah, is that Siesta Key?
Okay, maybe that's where it was.
Yeah, so Siesta Key.
Close enough.
It was a long time ago. You're getting older.
Yeah.
But yeah, I met you there. Then you had a great career here in tennis, and then you became the GA. And then you went from GA, all of a sudden you're in the head coach's chair. We're so thankful to have someone like you on our staff. I'll say that. You know, I think you take a lot of ribbing from the staff because you're good-natured, you're down to earth. But I think we would be remiss if we didn't, you know, just appreciate you for who you are and just really glad you're here. So going way back to when you're a student, why did you choose Southeastern?
Yeah, it's a good question. I think this is a special place, obviously. That's why I've been here as long as I've been here. And I've always talked to you a little bit about that, where it's like, hey, it would have been cool like if my resume said like I went here or coach over here and went to this place, but I wouldn't want to do that because of all the experiences and things I've learned being at Southeastern. So, but yeah, choosing there from the beginning, I would say a big part of it was my coach, Bill May. He's a really good guy. Really didn't have much to do with tennis, but it had to do with, hey, if I'm going to be somewhere for 4 years, I want to make sure that whoever's sort of in charge or kind of leading our program is the right fit and the right guy, somebody I could look up to. So Bill was definitely that for me. I think coaching the teams now, I'm hoping that I'm that for them as well.
So you were from, where did he recruit you from?
Orlando. Yeah, I was at Circle Christian, small private school in Orlando.
So how did you become a Colts fan?
Yeah, well, I grew up, so between the ages of, I was born, I think when I was about 10 years old, we moved out of Indiana. But I was born in Muncie, Indiana.
Okay, that makes sense.
So reflect back a little bit on your time as a player at Southeastern. Won a lot of awards, academic awards, champion of character a couple of times. How did that experience as a student athlete shape you into the person and coach you are today?
Yeah, not many tennis awards, but we did knock out some of the academic and the champions of character two times in a row. I think just whoever – I've always been a big proponent of, whoever's leading the ship, whether, it's Drew in our department, Coach May for the tennis team, you're going to learn a ton by who you do life with kind of day by day. And so I think I was able to learn a lot under Bill and Drew and the athletic culture that we had. That even when I stepped into the GA role, I didn't feel like I was stepping into something where I was like, I'm mainly still a student, but I felt like I was ready to be an adult. So that when that transition did happen from being a GA over to being a head coach, I was actually prepared for it. I was ready for it. I felt like I learned whether it's lessons, how to carry myself, what it meant to be an adult, be a man. I feel like I was able to learn a lot from those role models.
So we talked about your transition to head coach. It's a unique journey that you become GA and all of a sudden you're the head coach. What was that transition like? It was interesting timing. And what have you learned since then?
Yeah, again, I think you need to be prepared for something like that before it ever happens. And that's the hard part because sometimes that opportunity never comes. And so how do you stay prepared for something that, may or may not show up? But I do think just decisions you'd make when you were with the team, that they kind of did see me different, that it wasn't like every other day I was trying to hang out, go do different things with them, but I was set apart in a way.
Yeah.
Also had part-time jobs, just staying busy, working really hard, kind of for them to be able to see that. So then when it was time to be a head coach and sort of lead them, it was something that I was already doing, which made that transition, yeah, a lot easier.
And that's something that as I talk to you as a potential GA, we talk about the line.
Yeah.
Between, you know, and a lot of the GAs are coming, like you did, from being a student athlete here. And it's a real adjustment to say, well, now I'm an employee. And so I can't hang out with them. I can't, you know, and that's a struggle for some GAs where, you know, they're kind of like they want to keep their foot kind of back in where they came from, you know. So that's a big tribute to you, yeah. You know, just for like having a mindset that this is different and I'm trying to step up.
Yeah, I think it's just a growing process. I tell our kids all the time, like, if you're still making the same jokes you were making when you were a freshman or in high school or a sophomore, like, it's time to grow up.
Yeah.
Like, it's time to start seeing, you know, as and every year you can add something more to your plate. Like, you can take more of a leadership role. You could take a different approach. You can add more to your plate. Like, I think you can just grow up from experiences, too. So, like, maybe it's time for you to pick up that part-time job and start, like, having new experiences. I don't think every year should look the same. So whether you're freshman, sophomore, junior, senior.
Have you shared that with Donnie about the jokes? You know, not the same jokes.
Ouch.
You know. Donnie, you're a repeat offender.
I got a meeting to get to, so you guys have a great show. Drew, it's been interesting to see the way that you've taken the competitiveness of this team. I think when you were a player, you guys were always trying to fight for that last spot in the conference tournament. It's been interesting and neat to see the expectation change a little bit. I think there's a higher expectation. You guys are expecting to compete a little bit against Kaiser, running for that top spot in the Sun Conference. And you did it pretty quickly once you got into the head coaching role full time. How did you go about the process of changing the expectation and getting the level of competition a lot higher?
Yeah, I think three things. I think first off, our department is really competitive. I think a lot of the programs here are really good, and we have a lot of good coaches. So I think it's almost like instinctive. Like, as soon as you start coaching here, it's like, hey, I need to raise our level. You know what I mean? Not that there's this pressure on you to do it or else, but you want to be competitive like the other programs are doing, and you want to be able to sort of live up to that standard of the department. So I think that's probably the first thing. The second thing is we're in Florida, and it's tennis. So there's no reason for us not to have a good program. There's no excuses there. The Sun Conference has been known to be really competitive. A lot of times we send 3, 4, 5 teams to nationals. So if you want to compete, like, in your conference, you just have to be good. Like, there's just or else you're just never going to be able to have much success. And the third thing is, at the end of the day, like, the competitive stuff is just the fun stuff. Like, if you can get your culture right and get a lot of the environment stuff right, like, that's the stuff that's super important. Right. And if you're able to share the gospel through that process, like, that's what it's all about. But then when it comes to the competitive element to it, like, that's sort of the joy. That's just like the cherry on top of everything else that you're trying to do.
Well, and you mentioned spirituality and culture. And of course, one of our goals at SCU is to give every student athlete an encounter with Jesus. Mm-hmm. And so part of that is, you know, we have a group called Faith on Fire, and it's student athletes who are ministering and discipling other student athletes and just really have a heart for ministry. You are involved in that ministry as well as Kayla Watkins. Tell us a little bit about your involvement there and just your feelings on the ministry.
Sure. No, I think it's awesome. I think anytime, even being at a Christian school, I think it's easy to think, like, we don't need something like that. There's already enough professors, enough chaplains that are kind of pulling the weight there. But the fact that we have student athletes that are excited about Jesus, that want to put something on, it's really just coming alongside of them. I do a little bit for them. Like, I help out when I can. I speak probably once a semester at their movements. But it's all of them. Like, they really lead the show there. And it's great. It allows a coach like me also to, we can invite our kids to be part of that. You know, it almost puts a little pressure off of coaches when there's more student-led things that are being put on, and it's coming genuinely from the athletes. But yeah, I think they've just done such a great job representing our department with that.
Well, the plan originally was for you to be involved in the fall with Kayla, with the ministry, and then to hand it off to two fall coaches. I know that didn't happen that way. Yeah. Was that because you just felt, man, this is a great thing to be connected to, and I really am enjoying this as much as it was anything else?
Yeah, no, I think I enjoyed it, but I also started building relationships there. So I think it's hard. I think after 4 or 5 months, you're starting to meet consistently with some of the kids outside of Faith on Fire. You're getting lunch. And it felt like if you walk away from it now, like, maybe some of those relationships die a little bit. Because it takes time. It takes time for people to also feel comfortable around you and feel like, you know, you're building a relationship with some of the guys there. So it felt like after we were done with the fall, it's like, no, let's just stay on for the spring. Yeah. And there's been a lot of times I've had to miss. I think the leadership's really good there. I think a lot of the kids do a really good job. That it's been fine. Like, if there's times that I have to miss or Coach Watkins has to miss, they have it all under control. Yeah. Whereas I felt like if there wasn't too much control going on, then maybe we do need a coach there that's consistently able to make it. But they've knocked it out of the park. So
it's good.
It's okay.
Let's talk a little bit about your teams this year. Both ranked in the top 10, depending on which ranking service you subscribe to. And we're going to subscribe to the one where they're both ranked in the top 10. What have been some of the highlights for you guys this year? You know, there was indoor nationals where you guys did really well, a couple of Division I teams that you've knocked off. What stands out in your mind?
Yeah. Okay. So anytime you talk about two teams, it's like completely different seasons, although they both are having successful seasons. Probably for the men, I felt like we were probably disappointed after indoors. I think we dropped a match at William Woods that we felt like we could have won, although, I mean, they straight up beat us. But it felt like coming back from that trip, it was like, all right, like, what kind of team are we going to be? And they've really shown up. They've grown a ton. We had added five guys to our singles lineup that weren't playing at Nationals the year before. So there was a lot of growth that we had to do, and we've had a lot of people step up. I was talking today, I think Mark Griffin, who plays six for us, I don't think he's lost a match since indoors. Piero, a freshman for us, I think he's lost one match to Gwinnett since indoors. So, I mean, there's been some of those stories where people have just gotten super comfortable and kind of locked into their roles. So I think just being resilient, because I think after that indoors, it was like, okay, are we going to start figuring this out or are we going to be average? And they started to figure it out. The women's team, we brought back a lot of people that we had from that squad before. I would just say their chemistry and energy and their culture just continues to grow, which is really cool to see because I thought they really had it down last year, but they've been so easy. You know, just send them out to court. They always will show up, great energy, great communication. And they really haven't had one letdown all season, which I don't know if I've ever seen from one of my teams in the past 6 years. There's usually one or two matches. Whereas this year we dropped to SCAD, but SCAD's a very good team. Yeah. And we'll get a chance to play them again. But I don't know if that's a huge like letdown because of just how talented SCAD is. So they've had an awesome season.
So what surprises have there been? You know, where you go into the season and you're expecting X, Y, and Z to happen, but hey, someone stepped up.
Yeah, I would say our doubles. I think for our women's team, we just got accustomed to losing the doubles point and then figuring it out in singles.
Yeah.
Whereas this season, we actually, before we went to indoors, we changed our doubles lineups at 1 and 2. We were never playing the doubles teams that we sent to indoors. Hmm. We changed it last minute. We were playing a junior college, and it just wasn't looking good. Like, we were playing so bad. And that day, like, watching us play, it was like, we've got to change everything.
Yeah.
And so we made a huge change, and it just clicked. Hmm. It just clicked. And then they started to figure out how to win the doubles point, and it's been huge for us. Hmm. Then on the men's side, it's probably doubles as well, if you had to pinpoint it. We've struggled a little bit these last couple matches. But I think there was a moment that we haven't lost a doubles point outside of Gwinnett and Kaiser. So that was that's good.
That's great.
SCAD got us, but that's all right.
That's why we're going to stop sharing our notes with the guest. Let's take a look at some of the video from your doubles teams and their play on Friday. We'll start with your number one doubles team on the women's side. Tell us about these two ladies and what they bring to the team.
Yeah, so Simone's at the net there. She's a senior for us. Martina's been with us since her freshman year. She's the one that's nationally ranked, I believe, 21 in the country right now. But they, again, great chemistry, always talking, always communicating on the court really, really well. Simone will finish a lot of the shots over at the net. Martina will stay on the baseline and just grind everything out.
Number one doubles on the men's side. These guys are really good.
Yeah, their return games are always excellent. So they will get a break almost every time they play any opponents. Their biggest thing is just being able to continue to hold serve, make first serves in the court. But their returns are awesome, and they're super aggressive around the net, both of them.
Love the passion as well. And then finally, let's talk about line two on the double side, on the men's side. Victor coming off a big week, player of the week for the Sun Conference.
Yeah, all of our doubles teams play completely different. These guys will play way bigger on the serves. So they may go two games in a row where they don't make a return. But eventually when things start to click and they start to find the court, especially Victor because he hits so big, they'll get a break, and they're extremely hard to get broken. They both have big serves.
You were fired up there.
Yeah, no, those are fun. Yeah. Those are fun to watch.
It's good stuff. you guys have one more on the road in Embry-Riddle.
Yeah.
before the conference tournament. How do you keep your team focused, you know, with this press? So you had SCAD, got Embry, you got a little break here before you head up to Coastal for conference.
Yeah, I think just continuing to play, to be honest. Although I know there is a little break here, I think we've done well scheduling things out. We play a ton of matches. Again, being in Florida, we have the ability to do that. The Division II teams here are excellent in the Sunshine State Conference. Yeah. So it's the same as the Sun Conference, whereas you'll have five or six teams ranked in the top 10. So. Yeah. No excuse not to be playing at all times. If we're healthy, we need to be out there competing. And that's one way. There's a lot of schools that will play more 10 to 12 matches. For us, we really try to get it to 20, 22 matches, just to always sort of be on our toes and ready to compete.
So that's tomorrow at 3:30 up in Daytona, Daytona Beach. Sun Conference is coming up next week up at Coastal Georgia. What do those matchups look like in that first day?
First day, guys will actually get a bye. Okay. The women will play Coastal Georgia. So, it's one where I thought we didn't play them very well when they came to our home. That was last weekend. So I think just kind of picking up our energy and intensity, because you would love to get through that match, to get a rematch against SCAD. But if you're only thinking about SCAD and trying to replay them, we've seen that so many times where then we're not taking care of business of the team that's right in front of us. The Coastal's a good enough team that they deserve our full respect and effort.
Yeah. Well, good luck the rest of the season. I'll be up there coming up to Coastal. I always do that. That's a good trip.
Yeah.
Looking forward to seeing the team compete. Glad you were able to join us today.
Perfect. Thanks for having me, guys.
Coca-Cola. As a local Coca-Cola bottler, Coke Florida is dedicated to partnering with our community across the Sunshine State. Locally owned, locally managed, locally focused, Coca-Cola Bottling Florida is a proud sponsor of Fire Athletics. All right, let's talk softball.
All right.
They were at Babson Park this weekend at Weber. How'd that go?
Won two of the three games. Won the Friday game by the count of 3-1. Lauren Seckinger added three hits. Had a solid weekend overall. Chapel Cunningham, a pair of RBIs as well, going 2-for-4 at the plate. Saturday was a little bit different story. The first game, Claire Seckinger probably had one of her best outings of the season in the circle. Didn't give up a hit through the seven innings. Game went into extras, and Weber International was able to manufacture a run late with a pinch hit RBI to right field, and they were able to score the runner from second and came away with the win. But really, I think a great job by bouncing back by that group, because they came away with an 8-0 run rule game in the final of that series. So just kind of showing you the competitiveness of this league this year, where you can drop that game 1-0 and then come back and run rule the same team. You're just going to see a different arm, and they came right back. A little bit better approach at the plate, got the ball on the ground, got it into the right spot, and were able to come up with the runs.
Well, it's a good win, as you said, because when you have your pitcher no-hit a team through seven and you lose that game, that's can be demoralizing. You were there. The pitcher that threw against us in game two, the first game Saturday, was it the same pitcher that pitched Friday, had a little bit of a change of speed?
It was not, so a different look, but still overall, I think it was just more looking in the mirror and making some adjustments ourselves.
Okay. Well, we're now 31-12. And what do we have this weekend?
Big series this weekend. Coastal Georgia checking in, ranked 20th in the latest poll. St. Thomas is up to 17th as they took 2-3 last weekend from Coastal Georgia.
Okay.
And again, the common opponent there of St. Thomas, I thought Southeastern played St. Thomas really well, especially from the pitching circle. So if we can come through with some good performances in the circle and find a way to manufacture a couple of runs, we should be in good shape. These are going to be crucial games as we look towards the postseason. Currently, we're the third team out of the top 25 in the receiving votes category. Yep. More teams make the national tournament this year, but starting to look a little bit more. These would be some big resume builders and not put so much pressure on having to win the tournament.
Well, let's move to track and field. They just competed at Barrie last weekend, correct?
Yeah, had a decent showing after a long road trip up there. Chelsea Martino won the 400-meter hurdles, a standard time of 103.44. Also fifth in the heptathlon, so a busy weekend for her. Sarah Foreman, a first-place finish in the 5,000. Cameron Guadiano, I was talking with Coach Dodson a couple weeks ago when the team was at Embry-Riddle, And we've always had solid hurdlers in the entire time that we've had track and field.
Yep.
Coach Dodson was a phenomenal hurdler at shorter, so no real surprise that we've had good hurdlers. However, I don't think we've ever had, in fact, we've never had someone that was really good in the 110 and really good in the 400. Mm. Cameron, a freshman, is that for us. So that's definitely going to be someone to keep an eye on. He ran a B standard time, not his best, but still 54.37 in the 400 meter hurdles, which I think is probably one of the toughest events you've got in a track
for
meet.
Sure. Now let's move to, what's coming up for that before we move to baseball? What's coming up for track?
Yeah, a little bit of a change of schedule. They're going to go back to Embry-Riddle this weekend for a kind of a last chance qualifier, get a chance to see some more college teams and a little bit longer schedule that they have there.
All right, moving to baseball, number one team in the country for 16 straight rankings. Very impressive. What's new with the team?
Came off of a four-game sweep over Ave Maria. Also picked up a win yesterday in non-conference action against New College. Let's go back a little bit to the conference series against Ave Maria. Mm-hmm. Look back at some of the clips in game one. Ramsey David had a great game on the hill, striking out 10. Still had to come back. You see here in the bottom of the eighth, down 4-3, Luis Gonzalez coming to the plate for Southeastern. He got thrust into the game as a pinch hitter due to some injuries late and came through in a big way with a two-run double to center field, scoring the runner from first base to help the Fire come away with the win.
Here comes Wilkerson. The throw to second is not in time.
So really, that kind of set the tone because Ave Maria was playing with a lot of confidence, having the lead late. They got an early home run to kind of set the tone of that contest. But to come away with that win and come from behind fashion really set the tone the rest of the weekend to come away with all four wins. Saturday's game got off to a little bit of a rough start, but enter Gary Laura. Good to have an All-American first baseman as we take a look at his game-changing moment from Saturday, coming through with a big grand slam to come away with the win in that contest. So really a clutch moment here.
Well, it's kind of like this team played a lot of last year's games, you know, coming from behind, winning late.
As Gary Laura sends that one high and deep. That ball is way
not much of a breeze interfering with that ball either.
Yeah.
And then Gary, just a ton of passion, trying to get the team fired back up because they had some defensive struggles early in this game. I think they had three errors in the first inning, and that kind of hurt the psyche a little bit of the group. But to be able to bounce back and fire up the dugout rounding third and the fifth inning of that game really kind of finished it off for the group.
Well, everybody likes to talk about our field dimensions. That would have been out anywhere.
Correct.
That was a bomb. All right, so what's next for the Fire?
Four-game weekend series against St. Thomas coming up this weekend. Depending on how some of the other results go with Weber International, could see the team clinch the Sun Conference regular season title this weekend.
All right.
Four-game lead with eight to go.
Well, there's always a good series with St. Thomas no matter where we play
them. Correct.
All right, let's talk golf. What's going on with the teams?
Yeah, the women's team had a solid showing at the Music City Invitational. The big thing was for the men's team jumping in the coaches' poll to possibly get in a position in to receive an at-large to nationals. Mm-hmm. But also, I think the other thing that works in their favor is coming up a week from next Monday, we're going to be hosting the Sun Conference tournament at Grasslands, a course that they've played a bunch of times. They know every undulation of that course and where to hit it on all those difficult par fives and know where to hit it on the back-to-back par threes on the front. So I think that plays a huge advantage for this group.
Well, it's always good hosting a conference championship at home. As you said, you know, they practice out there, they qualify out there, they've played tournaments out there. So looking forward to good things out at Grasslands the weekend of April 29th. All right, Donnie, that's a wrap for today. Thanks so much to everyone for joining us. As we close the show, I want to remind everyone about our home games this week. Baseball will host another four-game series against St. Thomas starting tomorrow at 6:30 p.m. Friday, then, we'll play a doubleheader at 3 p.m. and 6 p.m. Saturday, they play their last game of the series at noon. Now, before that game, tomorrow, we have a, what are we calling it? The
pool party?
I don't know.
It's just something a lot more fun than I know.
Yeah, so we would ask athletes to come out.
Splash Bash.
Splash Bash, that's right. They just told you that in the...
They did not.
So Splash Bash, so we'd encourage student-athletes to come out and join that activity and then stay for the game.
Yeah, visit SCUFire.com for all the latest news in Fire Athletics. You can find the event calendar as well as a link to watch all of our away games.
Good luck to all of our teams this week. Thanks again for joining us, everyone. Go Fire.